Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
We came back every Saturday anyways because we love punishment.
Who was that?
That, by the way, was the House Speaker John Boehner. And, yes, this is your...
That was John Boehner?
That was House Speaker John Boehner, yes, who is mocking his Republican colleagues for being too scared to reform the nation's immigration laws during a speech Thursday in his home district.
I see.
Yes, and I do have more audio on that. We have audio.
Well, you know, they can. This is a bit about immigration. What do you do about it?
Yeah, we'll get into that just a little bit later into the program. By the way, I want to invite people. I know Cliff is biting at the bit, and the microphone, which I wish he'd stop doing because it really damages the mics. I'd like to invite people to give us a call, 646-721-9887. We are going to talk a little bit more about John Boehner's whining, literally. Also on the docket, President Obama, the celebrity in chief in charge in the White House, made a comment recently regarding the thing that's going on with the NBA, which is the Los Angeles Clippers. The heaven forbid somebody records somebody illegally, and then again he makes the news, and the guy, the NBA commissioner Adam Silver decides that he should ban him from his own team, and so we have some comments and audio on that, as well as the president making his own little racist comment, which I don't hear anybody screaming file.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I have no idea either.
You're lost.
And also, going on here in Oregon a little bit, that's kind of, I just discovered this yesterday, and I'm going to try to get Ms. Jo Rae Perkins to call and hopefully she'll be able to do this. This is regarding the race for U.S. Senate here in Oregon, and an interview by Willamette Weekly, who is trying to decide which candidate to endorse. And I have audio on that, too. And it was actually kind of disturbing, the disrespect on how the interview was handled. But I'll get into more details in just a moment. But in the meantime, I want to invite people to call in at okay, I lost that number, Cliff. What was it again?
646-721-9887. And once again, just in case you didn't get it.
Okay, let me get it.
646-721-9887. That's
okay.
The telephone number to call.
Got that.
And that's an easy thing to do because, dialing your phone nowadays is just a matter of punching some buttons. It isn't like the old-time phones where you had to literally dial, Yeah. You did that well.
Thank you.
Or at least you do the fake well. I don't know how you would dial it. No. It's been so long since I dialed it. I can't even remember when I dialed the phone.
Yeah, the ones easy the zeros were, But anyways, also the chat room is open, by the way, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. We'd like to take your comments there as well. If you are listening to the program on the archives, sorry for you. But anyways, welcome. You can still contribute to the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and all of our shows, by the way, all 200 and something of them, are also available on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes.
Wow.
We are everywhere. We also have
we sing to you, huh?
Yes. Well, no, iTunes is an Apple thing.
Oh.
Yes.
You don't sing?
Well, I get paid not to sing.
Okay. Probably me too.
But what I want to start out with here is the Willamette Week interview And basically, and you can go to, this is courtesy of wweek.com if you want to check the article. It's on the front page, actually. And they're getting a little bit of heat over the reaction of this reporter. Basically what it is, and I don't know everybody in attendance, but we have Mark Callahan, Monica Webby, Joe Ray Perkins is on a conference call to them, and some other candidates are there. And the whole purpose of the meeting is so they can, Willamette Week can decide which candidate to endorse. To kind of set up the scenario here is, checking to make sure, is that as Joe Ray is answering a question regarding, I believe it's climate change here, it's about, reporter Nigel Jekis, if I pronounce your name wrong, I apologize for that, it's Jakiss, for writing blah, blah, blah in his notepad. Well, another candidate, Joe Ray Perkins, was supposed to be talking about health care, instead was talking about eliminating the U.S. Forest Service. And what happened there after that, listen to this.
Okay, thank you.
You want to talk about disrespect? I see what you're writing down there. You just wrote down blah, 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 blah for everything that Joe Ray said. Joe Ray is a respectable woman.
Mark,
why are you not respecting her by writing blah, 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 blah on your notepad?
Mark, we're going to move on. I'm going to ask a question. And if you answer respectfully, we might be more than...
You have to give respect in order to get respect. Right now, on that side of the table, you're not giving very much respect to the five of us in our time here. I just see what your colleague here is putting down in his notepad, and he put down blah, 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 when Joe Ray was giving a very detailed and descriptive answer.
Mark, here's my question. Climate change, do you believe that's a myth or a reality?
It's a myth.
It is?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you? Where are you on the Easter Bunny?
What's that?
I said, where are you on the Easter Bunny?
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer to move the code? Really?
Representative,
I called you out for putting blah, 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 blah on your notepad, and now you're asking me questions like this? Really? Really? Are we talking about this now?
Let's move
okay,
on.
How about you ask a very serious and respectful question instead of asking a little childish question?
Mark, I just asked you if climate change was a myth.
And I answered your question.
Can I now move on and get the response from someone else? And if you're not going to let me, I'm going to ask you to leave. Okay. That's two strikes.
Who do you think you are?
Okay, you may leave now. Go ahead. You're done here. This is neither a fair or a balanced meeting. This is a meeting for us to do.
I know it's a meeting being asked by disrespectful, thin-skinned liberal like yourself.
There's the door.
I have better things to do with my time.
You clearly do. Can you answer the question about climate change?
Yes, I actually view...
Yeah, I totally, that interview was totally disrespectful, and what the guy wrote on his paper is really up to him. Like I say, he could be drawing flowers and pink birdies and whatever else he wants to do, but to, and the fact that Mark Callahan called him on that, okay, fine, you did, you're done, now you want to know what he feels about the Easter Bunny? Come on.
Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, to be honest with you, this eliminates my any consideration I would have of what this newspaper would do on anything. Because if that's the way they work and that's the way they act, I wouldn't believe them on anything.
Well, I tell you, I'd like to have because of my schedule. To do a remote like up in Portland is really hard to do, but I know I would handle the interview a lot more respectful than that.
This wasn't a remote. This was not on the air or live or anything like that. This was just happened to be recorded. Right. But the thing is, the way the newspaper people handled this, I agree that this Mark guy did get a little carried away and a little bit hot under the collar because of it. But I thought he had good reason, especially when they came back and asked him where he stands on the Easter Bunny. That's just irresponsible in any language, any way you look at it. That's why I would not consider reading this newspaper ever.
It says a lot about, you know, about the reporting. It says a lot about, and this has been one of my arguments for a long time. The media decides who a candidate is. You know, if you got money and you got friends with money, I mean, like, for example, Monica Webby's being backed by Mitt Romney now. Okay, great. I don't even know if they even know each other or whatever. But the point is, money attracts money. And if you have a candidate that, I'll use Jill Ray as an example. She's working her tail off practically as a one-person team. I mean, she's got a few members that are helping her, but, you know, on a really tight budget. And she is working very, very hard to do everything herself. I mean, she's really putting in a big effort to do this. She doesn't have, you know, like Monica Webby was saying, you know, she reached $100 million in donations. Well, good for her. You know, she's a surgeon or whatever, or doctor, and so she's got money and influence and power, et cetera, et cetera. You know, great. But my point is that there are some really great people out there that would be excellent representatives, which is what our system was designed for to begin with, is why it's supposed to be a representative. You know, it's a republic. You know, you're supposed to come in, do your term or two, and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not given the chance by reporters like this one here, who's not really taking things seriously. And then, you know, when called out about it, well, what do you feel about the Easter Bunny? You know,
well, see, the point I don't like about this whole thing is they've already counted her out because she doesn't have the money. They've already, in their mind, well, at least this person, this one person, I don't know that they all, I mean, I don't want to say that they all feel that way or they all think that way, but all you need is, and the one person who makes a lot of noise is the one who thinks that way. And if that's the person, any kind of, you know, And unless I knew that they were going to fire that person from the staff of the newspaper, I won't ever consider anything the newspaper has to say.
It's
legitimate.
Agreed. It's totally lower.
They don't take the time to listen to them. They don't know if the person is right or wrong or indifferent.
Well, yeah, exactly.
They've already made up their mind.
Well, in fact, they said right in the interview, this is not a balanced interview. You know, in fact, it says here on their website, and we make the rules clear. Our goal is not to provide equal time to all candidates, but to explore questions that we think matter to our readers.
And where are you on the Easter Bunny? If that's the kind of thing that they think matters to the readers, then that's an insult to the readers.
Yes. It says not everybody likes to follow the rules, and on rare occasions we have asked candidates to leave the endorsement interviews. Now, the thing is that what have really impressed me at this time is that, I mean, the interview just continued on. And you can watch the full interview. It's like an hour and something long on Willamette Week's website, you know, www.week.com, if you want to comment for yourself. And a lot of the readers on there have commented. They're not impressed at all by the way the interview was handled. But you know what would have really been great? Is that if all the other candidates would have got up and walked out?
Well, that's true. But the thing, I don't know. I as far as I'm concerned, the interview was over.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, regardless of whether they got up and walked out or not, any part of the interview that was legitimate was just over. That's just all there was to it. There's no possible way they had anything to put in the paper that was I don't know genuine.
Well, I realize they're not Fox News. They're, you know, to be fair and balanced. In fact, speaking of, I'm going to bring on the phone here as soon as I can hit the right button. I'd like to welcome to the program Ms. Jo Ray Perkins.
Hello there. How are you folks doing today?
We are doing wonderful. We're talking about the interview that's happening on that happened on Willamette Weekly, and how it was handled. And I'd like to get your take on that. What you know from that side?
Well, as you guys know, I was not there in person because I needed to be in Roseburg that night at 6:30, and so that meant starting an interview at 2 with 5 people and having to leave at 2:30, so that I was not having to rush down to Roseburg. I was actually surprised that Mark stayed as long as he did, because Mark was going to the exact same event. So people have asked me, Jo Ray, why didn't you just hang up? Well, what was happening, I'll tell you, I felt like I was part of the Nixon tapes. There were so many blanks, I couldn't hear what they were saying so much of the time. You should see me walking around the house trying to find a stronger cell signal, trying to find a better Bluetooth, earbuds, speakers to plug into the phone. Because it was like, I can't hear any, it was like complete silence. So, Robin, you know, when you're watching that, you'll see me go, what did you say? Because I could not hear a lot of what they were saying. So it was really strange. I've never had that experience like that. So why didn't I hang up when Mark got up and walked out? Well, I didn't know that Mark was kicked out. I knew he was going to be leaving early, again, to get to Roseburg on time. So I thanked Mark almost immediately. I put on my Facebook timeline thanking him for defending me. Mark is a gentleman. And it was interesting. If you look at the video, you'll see Monica kind of tapping Mark on the shoulder going, you know, kind of like going, now, Mark.
Yeah.
And Jason just sat there still with his usual.
Monica did.
Say that again.
I said Monica didn't look very impressed about what was going on.
No, she didn't look very well. They were hitting her pretty hard, and she was having a hard time answering the questions. She did good on the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm waiting.
She was there to get some information or impart some information, but, I mean, it sounded to me like the interviewers were not allowing her to say much about what she really meant or what she really thought. I mean, if she didn't answer their way, they weren't interested in listening.
Well, yeah, I suppose you could say that, but there were questions that she couldn't answer because she really didn't know the information on some of the things that they asked her. Clearly, from my end, the interview was between Dr. Webby and Jason Conger. The only reason that we were invited is because they were trying to show that things were being fair and balanced here, which, of course, they say, okay, we were neither fair nor balanced. Which we know that's been all over the place. So it's just an example of what happens out there with a lot of the mainstream and the wannabe mainstream media of just of treating the candidates. The fact that when I give an answer, I'm denigrated and marginalized and very frustrating.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that, and I really encourage people. I haven't had the chance to watch the whole video yet because it's an hour and a half long, but I really encourage people to go out there because I don't know if you caught my comment earlier, Jo Ray, is that I'm surprised that I would have applauded if everybody in the room would have got up and walked out at that point. I mean, it's one thing if somebody wants to doodle on their notepad, but then to come out and go, well, what do you think about the Easter Bunny? You know, my immediate response would be,
The thing is that they all were coveting the Willamette Week endorsement. I don't know why. I actually called Brent at Willamette Week and left him a message. He didn't call me back, so I sent him an email and thanked him for the time, thought that it was very unprofessional of his reporter to write down blah, 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 blah. And that I would certainly hope that as an employer that he would have a discussion with his employee of treating their guests with respect. And I said, I do not expect to receive your endorsement. And I did not get any type of response at all back from him. Not thank you for taking your time. Not I could care less what you think. So it just goes to show that there's parts of the media that think that they can pull all the strings. And this has been the mantra in what I've been saying for several weeks now. As voters, we complain. We're tired of the big dollar, big money-backed candidates. We're tired of the political machine-backed candidates, and two of those candidates are backed by big bucks, the BC political machine or the Oregon political machine, and they're endorsed by all these groups. People are tired of that, and they want the genuine Main Street citizen candidate that's going to go there and represent them. As much as I admire Mark, you know, I'm running, so I'm not going that's about as much props as I'm going to give Mark. We actually agree on everything but what should be done on the income tax issue. That's probably the only thing that we really disagree on. But we agree that things need to be done pretty much down the line on everything else, and we're pretty consistent on that. So it's real interesting for us to have a debate against each other and be like a kumbaya moment. it really would. The difference between Mark and I do have 21 years on him, which just means 21 more years of life experience. And I'm ready for this. The kids are grown. They're out the door. They're sort of out the door. Our son's house that he's renting just got pulled out from underneath them in 1 week, and so they're moving in this week. But we're just thankful we've got the space
for them. Literally out the door.
Yeah. He was out the door for.
They're literal.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, Willamette Week. Do you ever read it and? You know what it says?
I don't read Willamette Week.
I wouldn't now at this point anyway. But is it? Do they wield any weight in? I guess they're in Portland, but do they?
They're in Portland. They're a very liberal publication, and they don't make any. They don't hide the fact that they are liberal. So I don't have occasion to read what they have to say most of the time. Every now and then, Willamette Week has put out something that has surprised those of us on the conservative side of the aisle. So every now and then they surprise us, but I don't hardly ever read anything that they have to say.
Okay. Do you have any idea of what kind of a circulation they have?
They're all over.
You'll find them like in the colleges and sometimes in the free stands outside of restaurants and stuff, but apparently they're important enough that, you know, to have you and three other candidates out there, donate your time for their endorsement or for the interview.
Yeah, they said, so here's their circulation is down 15%. Reported circulation was 70,000 in 2012, so this is the latest numbers. And in 2011, it was 82,005. So they're losing readership. So
I can see why.
Yeah.
I mean,
if
they've got reporters like that, whoever that's running the paper needs to get control of it.
Right. Well, and apparently looking at the responses to the article that they have, you know, readers' comments, the majority of the comments feel the same way we do, that reporter was totally disrespectful, and they're supporting Mark for standing up to him, and you know, it's all bad. It did not make Willamette Week look very good at all.
No, it didn't, and props to Mark. I mean, this video has gone viral, which, you know, is good for Mark and standing up to the political machine to the media machine that's out there. So I think that's good. I do know that he's going to be interviewed on Fox News Friends tomorrow morning at 6:15 in the morning.
Cool.
Yeah, been on the Blaze. He's been on Rollnet Daily. Mark Levin. So it's getting a lot of play.
Yeah, actually, it was thanks to, because I'm a big fan of Mark Levin, that's what brought it to my attention. And I kind of says a lot, too. Like you said, you couldn't really tell what was going on, but looking at the other two candidates, they're just kind of sitting there, and Jason Conger just kind of did they answer the questions like nothing happened. It's kind of like, what do you want for a candidate? You want somebody just going to, when you're sitting there in the Senate, just going to sit there and kind of, look down at the floor, or actually stand up and say what you believe in.
And that's where, of course, people are going, wow, that's really great on Mark's behalf. On the flip side, Mark does tend to be a little bit
hot-headed.
Okay, you could say that. You said it, not me. I'm good.
And that's fine. That's fine. He had every reason to be there.
Right.
So I think that Mark did a great job in defending what I had to say and treating me with respect. So I think that's good.
Well, let me throw that out too, is that speaking of respect, you are very articulate and very knowledgeable, and for him just to kind of go la 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 blah 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 blah, like a kid plugging his fingers and going, la la la, I don't want to listen to you. That's kind of the impression I get of how he felt about your interview. Is that kind of what the impression you got? Because like I said, I haven't had a chance to listen to the full interview yet, but from your side of it, how did it go?
Oh, sorry, my grandson was kind of grabbed the phone from me. He's like, I'm on the phone. I'm sorry. Ask that question again. My apologies.
Okay. Yeah, as you're fighting for the phone, live on the air, talking to the world right now. No pressure. What I was asking is that, I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole interview yet, and I do apologize for that. But from your take, you being on the phone in the conference call here, how do you feel that you were treated? Because obviously they didn't think what you were saying was important.
Oh, I felt... I felt patronized. If you'll, on the video a couple times, they're going, oh, yeah, Joe Ray, what do you say? And I think that they, in some respects, they attempted to be respectful, but it was clear that it was going downhill very, very fast and that they really didn't hear what I had to say.
So we're just talking to you out of respect or out of the idea that they needed a fair and balanced, and whether it was or not, then they didn't really care what you had to say.
Yeah, and I didn't expect them to be fair and balanced, in all honesty. But at the same time, I thought, well, I'm going to be involved in this interview to see what kind of questions they ask, to see if they have to say, to hear what my opponents in the primary had to say. And I didn't know that they were going to be videotaping this until we were on the phone, or until it started and I was on the phone, and when they said it was going to be videotaped. So I was looking forward to the videotape so that I could hear some of their answers, because, again, there was so much I could not even hear what they were having to say. It was somewhat frustrating.
Their management of that newspaper and the way they run that newspaper and such things is not doing real well anyway, because the coverage is going down. The numbers in the paper are going down. It's not doing well, and that would indicate that perhaps the people don't even get along with each other inside the paper. And so,
you would think that's a possibility.
So until they do something to reform that, we may not have to worry about them much longer.
Well, one of the things that in the response from Willamette Week that I read is they said, well, we rarely kick anybody out. Well, here's the interesting thing. They also kicked out of the interview the week before gubernatorial candidate for Oregon, Darren Carr. He was also asked, I believe. So this was not a one-off kind of, oh, gee, look what happened. This is so unusual for us to do that. No, he was kicked out as well. So
it sounds to me like they have their stories written before they even start.
Yeah, and so they don't care if the people that they're not interested in, they don't care if they're there or not.
And, you know, that can be okay, because in some instances, if people agree with you, that can be kind of great, because they go along with what you say. But at this particular point,
right,
it's obvious that the people are not agreeing with them, and they're going to lose.
Yeah, and that's why, for me, when I asked them if they would schedule it for earlier in the day, and they said, oh, no, we're not changing it again. It was quite clear that they could care less what I had to say, really, because if they really were interested in what I had to say, I would think that they would have accommodated my schedule. And I explained that it wasn't just me, it was another candidate as well who was going to be leaving early.
Yeah.
So clearly they didn't really care. And they'd already scheduled it to accommodate someone else, so.
It gets back to that the media has already decided who the winner's going to be, and, you know, heck with everybody else.
Well, I take offense in you saying the media. I would not consider this newspaper the media. They may be a part of the media, and a very little part of the media, and a very wrong part of the media, but I would not consider the media to be categorized in, along with them. I don't think that's good.
Good point. And then the same thing is that if I was in Joe Ray's position or running for any office, even for dog catcher, if anybody still does that anymore, and risk interviewees are treated like this, if I got called to, you know, for an invitation, I'd be going, no, thank you. Uh-uh.
Well, the thing is, you don't know until they do it.
No, but you still that reputation. Is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know if they have that reputation or not. They're going to be getting it very quickly if they continue on. I don't know what their reputation is, but I do know that as of this point, I won't read the paper.
Well, I can tell
sure
you that the liberals love that paper, and they're going to, when Mark was asked about climate change, if he thought it was a myth, and he said yes, and they, you know, then they followed that up with the Easter Bunny question, which is what you guys were talking about when I called in. they're all laughing. They're thinking, that's funny. What a funny question. Ha, ha, ha. See, he just believes in the Easter Bunny. And so, you know, yeah, climate change, he thinks it's a myth. Well, we all know that climate change, we're all climate change. And of course, you know, my answer on climate change was the climate changes.
Then
I went into more detail. Newsflash.
Well,
and then I went into more detail.
We don't know for sure if it's us doing it or if it just does, you know. And I'm sure
it's a combination of climate changes, but for the most part, it does.
Yeah. So consequently, the thing is, the thing that I would notice, you say that the people who like the paper would be laughing and calling it great. The thing is, the people who like the paper are dwindling in number. And that's what would put them up.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. And I can guarantee, you know, if we had the opportunity to put together a forum like that, candidates would be treated with the utmost respect and given the time to, to actually come out and say what they want to say.
And that's it.
Go ahead.
I guess in the grand scheme of things, here's the thing, and this is what I would like a takeaway for your listeners as well. In the end, it's not whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat, or, you know, or the listeners are Republicans or Democrats. At the end of the day, we're supposed to be Americans. That's what we're supposed to be. And this is really about America and the survivability of this republic. It shouldn't be about, do I believe in the Easter Bunny Or, you know, it should be, well, wait a minute, what is going on with our Constitution? What is going on with our freedom and our liberty and our rights? Not this kind of vitriolic stuff that we're getting. Everybody's just so blinded by everything that goes on. They're getting more press. I think you might have had it as one of your talking points today, Robin, more press on an 82-year-old man who's dealing with prostate cancer, who makes a comment about something that, you know, was not nice, but it was a private comment to a private person. There was more playtime on that than anything else.
Exactly, and also during a conference with the Prime Minister of Malaysia. It's like, what a place to ask.
Well, yeah, we've got a problem with our president doesn't know when to quit either. He doesn't know what direction to go. He is, I don't know if it's because he's young or because he's stupid, and I think it's because he's stupid. So consequently, I mean, he doesn't know what side to take and how to take it and how to comment on it. And so he just says anything he wants to. So, but I mean, it's our problem is we don't know where we're too. I don't know how to put this because, see, I personally like the idea of just saying what I believe and saying what I think, and nobody
right.
getting upset about it, except that everybody does. And so, consequently, I have to be careful, and I sometimes don't bother. But the thing is, I wish we could also. All just let go and say what we want to say and mean what we want to mean, and everybody takes it not with a grain of salt, but with the way it's meant and the way it's said. But we all blow everything out of proportion.
Well, according to Obama, that we're still wrestling with the legacy of race and slavery and segregation.
Well, we're talking about somebody who's an idiot.
Yeah, but I don't want to get too far on that. Joe, I do have a question for you because I know your time's limited. What do you feel about, did you hear John Boehner's comment about the Republicans regarding immigration?
His sarcastic one about we don't want to worry. Is that when you're talking about?
His whining.
Yeah, John Boehner needs to retire from his position as Speaker of the House, and I'm hoping he does not get re-election. He was billed as a conservative, as a Tea Party person. He clearly is not. He's been sucked into the D.C. vortex of power, and it's very frustrating that we continue to put people in the position that don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up and speak out for what is right, to call our president out. And you can do it in a respectful manner. You don't have to be rude and disrespectful when calling somebody out. But to call out your fellow Republicans about the immigration reform, does immigration need to be reformed? Yes, there's some changes that need to be made, but when Mr. Boehner is alluding to the fact that, well, we just need to pass this and we'll secure the borders later, well, folks, there's no plan to secure the borders. That's the problem. Nobody's hearing that. So he just wants to go along, to get along, to continue on. And quite frankly, I'm tired of that type of mindset.
Well, we have a lot of people talking about this, but nobody has any kind of a solution for it. Nobody has any idea of what to do about it.
For the immigration, I think that's where we're misinformed. I believe that there have been several plans that have most likely been brought forth, but they keep getting shut down. It's just like, oh, the Republican Party doesn't have a solution to the Affordable Care Act. Well, yes, they do. It's just that it gets shut down and nobody hears it because all they hear is people yelling over the top of them saying, you don't have a plan, you don't have a plan. And I need to do some more reading on the immigration reform. In fact, I understand that I have not taken the opportunity to look it up, but one of the Oregon U.S. representative candidates, Ben Pollock, P-O-L-L-O-C-K, he's running for the 6th Congressional District on the Republican ticket. I understand he has a paper on his website on immigration reform that I hear is very, very good. So I'll have to go and read that insight and his take on immigration. But we talked about this before. There's all these quotas. And what we do about the quotas and should, you know, I believe there should be quotas. And I remember because we were talking about, you know, the young man that I had met whose bride is from India, and it was an arranged marriage, which is their cultural way of doing things. But setting that to the side, the immigration numbers they give preference if you are a high-powered athlete. They give preference, of course, to people that are doctors and engineers, et cetera. And then there's all this wonderful formula that they do. In the meantime, we also do need hardworking people. We can't have everybody working in doctors, working in doctors. Who's going to build the bridge?
Yeah,
think about it, hard laborers build the bridge. Of course, I would love it. I do believe that we need to e-verify. Let's e-verify the people that are here. And if you can't e-verify them, then they can't work here.
If the laws are enforced, in fact, a question that came up, I believe, on Lars Larson's show recently, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to hear the interview, was the question is, in addition to allowing illegal immigrants to have driver's license, should we allow them to also, should we license them as contractors?
Yeah, and I did see that the other day and heard a little bit about it. There's, well, number one, we have to look at it from one standpoint of the federal law, that they're here illegally. That's the first problem, is illegal. Oregon is a sanctuary state. The Oregon Construction Contractors Board, and my husband is a contractor, so we get to deal with the Contractors Board every time we renew his license. They only care about the revenue that comes in so they can keep their job. They really don't care if you are legal or illegal. That is not their business. They want to know that you've paid for your bond, that you've paid for your liability insurance, that you've paid for your continuing ed classes, and that you're paying them the $350 contractor's fee to keep your license. That's what they care about, is how much is in it for them on the bottom line. So it is not in their best interest in all reality for the CCB to say, well, you're not a U.S. citizen, so we can't license you. Their job, and this isn't to defend against illegals, the job of the CCB is to protect the public against unscrupulous contractors. That's their job. That's why they're going to try to blind eye that somebody's illegal. But that begs the question, why are they here illegally? Well, they're self-employed contractors. They're paying the fee. Well, wait a minute. How are they driving legally? Well, they're not. So they get pulled over. Oh, well, you're here illegally, and you're driving without a license, so here's your ticket. They may or may not pay it. Who knows? They get to go free anyway.
Well, that's part of the whole point is accountability, because if they're illegal and they don't have the proper identification, et cetera, if something goes wrong, they can just disappear.
Yeah, and the way that it works with the bonding companies and the liability insurance companies, they look at your credit rating. So if the illegal immigrants have a social security number that belongs to somebody that's got a great credit score, Then the whole thing is kind of wonky, because they should be saying, well, wait a minute, your name is whatever name it is, Martian, Brett Martian, and this social security number is also coming up as belonging to Robin S. Then there should be a red flag to the bonding companies, and they should be saying, well, this number that you gave us for us to run your credit check on to make sure that you're going to be a viable risk for us, it's not matching, but no, it goes back to follow the money. They also want the money.
Well, Jari, your cell connection is starting to break up, but how can people...
I'm on the road to head off together again.
Okay, so how can people get a hold of you and your website and stuff?
The website is perkins4usenate.com. Or they can also go to Oregon, that's senator.com. And if they look at the voter's guide, they will actually see my phone number is printed, and I am the only candidate that published their first cell phone number. If you want to get a hold of me, you got a question, look at the voter's guide, give me a call.
Absolutely. And you're also the only candidate that I'm aware of that actually will answer those emails.
Shocking, isn't it? Shocking.
It is. So what type of representative do you want? Somebody that's going to give you a form letter or somebody that actually will give you an honest answer themselves? So
once
you
get lots and lots of
buses,
of course, they'll get a form letter.
I'm sorry, Joey?
I was just saying thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And keep up the good work that you're doing.
All right, and thank you so much, Joe Ray, especially for coming on at short notice. And that's Ms. Joe Ray Perkins running for U.S. Senate. Check her out at perkinsforussenate.com and her Facebook page as well. Again, thank you, Joe Ray, for coming on.
Sometimes these cell phones have a tendency to make more troubles than they're worth.
That's true. But, yeah, it's very, very interesting, especially, you know, getting a little bit behind the scenes. And coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about John Boehner's comments on the immigration and our, I'm almost embarrassed to even say it, President Obama's comments regarding the his news conference in Malaysia with the Prime Minister over there. And place and time, people, place and time. But,
that's true. You know, he doesn't. That's what I'm saying over and over again. And I'm trying not to be too hard on the president, but it's kind of hard to be good to him because he does such stupid things.
Well, yeah, and we allow him to do that, which is really interesting. But now, one of the things that we're talking about, folks, is that recently, with respect to the comments by the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, this is a sports team, obviously, and his girlfriend, if you want to call her that, made a recording of a private conversation between him and her, and regarding the black or African Americans on his team and on their websites, et cetera, and apparently he asked her to remove all the African Americans from her Facebook page, and that got recorded. And as a result of that, the commissioner, Alan Silver, made an announcement that he is banning the, well, as they say, an audio is worth a thousand stumbles, so here is what the commissioner had to say.
Effective immediately, I am banning Mr. Sterling for life from any association with the Clippers organization or the NBA. Mr. Sterling may not attend any NBA games or practices. He may not be present at any Clippers facility, and he may not participate in any business or player personnel decisions involving the team. He will also be barred from attending NBA Board of Governors meetings or participating in any other league activity. I am also fining Mr. Sterling $2.5 million, the maximum amount allowed under the NBA Constitution. These funds will be donated to organizations dedicated to anti-discrimination and tolerance efforts that will be jointly selected by the NBA and its Players Association. As for Mr. Sterling's ownership interest in the Clippers, I will urge the Board of Governors to exercise its authority to force a sale of the team and will do everything in my power to ensure that that happens.
Now, first of all, I don't see how somebody has the power, for one, to ban somebody from something that he owns. Good luck with that. You know, I'm sure that if he has some good lawyers, it would be very interesting. And then to fine $2.5 million. Again, is it? I don't know what their agreements are, you know, for him owning the club and everything, how that would go. But to kind of go along to set this up for, of course, our president, who is really good at putting his foot in his mouth, you know, including like the Trayvon Martin case. You know, if I had a son and it brought some national attention, and we all know how that turned out. Here's what Mr. Obama had to say about that.
The United States continues to wrestle with a legacy of race and slavery and segregation. That's still there.
And that's just a small snippet. But basically he's saying that, and this is his comments, like I'm saying, him and the Prime Minister of Malaysia are at a conference, and they're asked this comment. Basically, he's saying that, I'm confident that the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, a good man, will address, obviously, the NBA is a league that's beloved by fans all across the country. It's awful that a lot of African-American players, it's steeped in African-American culture, and I suspect the NBA is going to be deeply concerned about involving this. So apparently that, and if you want, I can play the full audio on that, which is about 2 minutes.
If you'd like.
If you'd like.
Whatever. The thing is, the point is, they're trying to do something to, you know, $2.5 million to him, and he has $90 billion, and $900 billion rather. It's not even a drop in the bucket. So that means nothing to him. The fact that he can't go to the games, I don't know what that means to him.
Yeah,
he did allow his girlfriend. She asked the team, or asked the people in the NBA, if she could go to the game, and they said okay. But the thing is, I don't really believe that she was probably even interested in the game. She just probably did it because it was something she could do and sort of dilute what their meaning was of barring him. But
right.
The thing is, I don't really think the fact that he owns the team. Now, why can the NBA force him to sell something that he owns? They can't. But he doesn't own the league. He doesn't own the NBA. He just owns a team, one of I don't know how many there are in the league, particularly because I'm not very sports savvy. But the thing is, there's probably 10 or 12 teams in that particular league. So he owns a very small portion of it. The thing is, even if they make him sell it, who's he going to sell it to? The girlfriend? A friend of his? Somebody, some relative? I mean, he's not going to just flat give it to somebody who's out of his realm entirely. He's not.
Well, I don't see how they could force the sale of it, to be honest with you. It's like you own it. I mean, if he owns it lock, stock, and barrel, he owns it. I mean, the worst that they can do is maybe ban the Clippers from playing somewhere.
I've thought about this a little bit. What they can do if they want to, and if they really get serious about this, they can dissolve the team. There is no more team. They can take those players and rehire them as a different team and then continue on without him.
Well, that's true. Or just drop out of the NBA altogether. But then again, like I say, I'm not into basketball, so I really don't know that much about it. But, you know, if they drop out of the NBA, I guess that means that you can't play against NBA teams. And
well, that's why you wouldn't want to drop out of the NBA.
Right.
You'd want to dissolve the team and reform it as a different NBA team so that you can continue on doing what you were doing, but doing it as somebody different. All you do is change the name of the team.
Exactly.
And he's no longer involved.
But it also comes up to the comment or to the thing as well is, I mean, granted, our president, who never misses a photo op, I'm sorry. It's just like with the thing about Willamette Week. You're over there in Malaysia speaking with the Prime Minister of Malaysia and going, Mr. President, I have a question regarding sports. I mean,
well,
you know, it, to me, that's mind-boggling. With everything going on in the world, just like this, I don't have the information in front of me. I just heard this morning on the news that apparently John Boehner is putting together a investigative committee, finally, about what was the president doing the first 10 hours after the report of the attacks on, you know, my mind just went blank, Venezia, I want to say, but, you know, it's embarrassing, basically. Is this all, with everything going on in the world and what we're involved in, and this is what we're more concerned about is, you know, like the president's comment about slavery and about which says where he's coming from and about sports. I mean, I say that, you know, like people are getting more disinterested in politics. You know, when I talk to, you know, being what we do here, of course, you know, we talk mainly about politics. But when I, off the air, when I talk with people, a lot of, I hear more and more people say, I don't follow politics. And they should.
I hear a lot of people saying they don't follow it and they don't pay attention to it, and,
right.
and they lie.
Yeah.
They do follow it and they do pay attention to it.
Well, especially, you know, like the Obamacare thing, which is now in your face, they have to follow it. But where I'm going with all this is that because people don't get involved, and if it had something to do with sports, like say, for example, here in Oregon, we got the Oregon Ducks, which being in Eugene, you know, everything is green and yellow, and heaven forbid you say anything negative about the Ducks, they'll come hunt you down. If it was something to do with the Ducks, people can go back. I know people that can go back 10 years and tell you who was playing against who, but they can't tell you who the vice president is.
Yeah. That's true. And of course, that's the thing is, the people who that can tell you who played against whom and so what, they're different in every state. Every state has their own following of so the number is small. The number of people that can tell you who the vice president is actually considerably larger than that. So,
well, let me go ahead and this clip is like I say just under 2 minutes. Let me just play real quick a snippet from what Obama actually said at that conference and see what you think.
They kind of speak for themselves. You know, when people, when ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, you don't really have to do anything. You just let them talk, and that's what happened here.
Yes, and I'm going to jump in there real quick and say, look who's talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I want to make just one larger comment about this. You know, we...
Come on.
The United States continues to wrestle with a legacy of race and slavery and segregation.
Yeah, and again, apologize for jumping in. I don't think we're wrestling it as much until this presidency. Myself, anyways.
That's still there. The vestiges of discrimination. We've made enormous strides, but you know, you're going to continue to see this percolate up every so often. And I think that we just have to be clear and steady in denouncing it, teaching our children differently, but also remaining hopeful that part of why some statements like this stand out so much is because there have been a shift. There has been this shift in how we view ourselves.
And again, like I say, wrong time, wrong place. But you know,
well,
I think
the thing is, we're listening to somebody whose opinion is totally different than most of us. He takes the opinion from the other side. In other words, he's black, and he takes everything on that side of the picture, that side of the statement, and consequently, he's not going to be speaking for an awful lot of the population. We got to remember who he is in order to understand what he says and why he says it. he's not the, well, I don't know, he's not the final say-so on anything. He's way on the other side. It's good to have him as a president because we can understand more of what's going on in other people's minds. And I'm flailing at this because I find it very hard to talk about. I don't believe this way. I don't normally talk this way, but it's what we're up against. We're up against a black president. Real simple as that. And it's something we haven't ever been up against before. And it'll be interesting to see if we could ever have a female president and see what kind of opinions they have that are going to be not the average opinion, because that could change the whole way people think by having a lady president. And it'd be interesting to see what happens. I'm not sure if it's Hillary or not.
Well, I don't want Hillary, but I see where you're coming from. Yes, you do, because we're humans. You know, you do bring in your past with you and how you're treated. Okay, that, you know, hopefully, you know, you can learn from
that. That makes it a whole big thing on how you think.
Right. But again, work to balance that, not to promote it. You know, it's like, I'm sorry if they treated you badly because your skin color, but you have to let go of that at some point for us to move on. You don't keep, you know, you don't have a government that is so afraid to criticize its leader because they will be considered racist. I mean, I'll give you a good example, and just from my own experience, all right? I mean, we all have our past. We've all been treated, whatever, you know. In 1995, I got a job with an internationally owned company, and they had their diversity classes, and there's 22 people in this class, in my orientation class. And one of the things that they wanted to do is that they put up pictures, and they wanted us to categorize these pictures. I mean, they had people that were dressed with black leather and the hat, you know, like a biker, who was not a biker, you know, and just then trying to, you know, what's the word, categorize people. And we didn't want to participate. In this room, you know, we had all different types of cultures, and we were all like, we didn't want to participate with this. And I was very proud that we had got to that point. Further on, a couple of years later, we were invited as a requirement for diversity training. And I just happened to see a little bit of the background on it because we had two representatives that came in from the local community college here. And one was dressed, he looked like a lawyer, and the other one looked like Columbo, to be honest. And I was watching, because I was up in the front office when they were checking in, and I was watching them. The lawyer-dressed guy, he was up at the front counter talking with the gal, with the receptionist. Well, the other guy was just kind of wandering around. Okay, I didn't think that much about it, you know. Later on during this meeting, the receptionist was there, and these two guys, because they were giving the presentation. And this lawyer-looking guy was saying, well, you know, my friend here, who looks like Columbo, wasn't treated with the same respect that I was at the front counter. You know, being the fact that, you know, he was, if you want to get into race, he was African-American, the other guy was Mexican. And me being one to not put up with too much bullshit, said, excuse me. That's why I don't get invited back to these meetings, by the way. You were at the front counter. Your friend was wandering the floor. Did your friend make eye contact with the gal, with the receptionist? And the receptionist said no. Okay, body language right there says you don't want to be talked with. You're just wandering around here. You're not interacting face-to-face with this person that's at the counter right now. So you can't claim racist. This is what this guy's doing. If he was standing right next to the counter with you, yes, she would have been conversing back and forth. But no, he wasn't. He was wandering around, you know, and the reason why I call him Columbo because he had the overcoat, the hat, and actually the walking like the stance of of the Columbo from TV series, you know, just, you know, I almost expected him to kind of hold his hand up and go, just one more thing, ma'am, you know. And that's the body language he was getting. But they were trying to sell it as a racial issue, and it wasn't. And I called them on it.
Oh.
Totally blew away their whole presentation.
Yeah.
And that's we got to get over. We got to stop looking at that. And this president, you know, like his comments, totally inappropriate for being, you know, in Malaysia with the prime minister talking about this and putting us down, talking about that, you know, we still have a legacy of race and slavery and segregation is still here. And we need to teach our kids differently and whatnot. It's like, I don't know. I was not amused.
Well, the problem with what he was doing and the way he was saying it is that he was ignoring the person who was right next to him on the podium. He was ignoring the fact that he was in their country and et cetera. He was just speaking to America, and he does this all the time. As I say, he has not really settled there or really set for the office he's in. He doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't know what to do with it.
Well, I got one for you, too. This summit, get this, this summit is the Nuclear Security Summit. We're here talking about world security, nuclear security, and we're concerned about the NBA. I mean,
well,
come on. I mean, I wonder why some, you know, when you listen to overseas radio, why sometimes, you know, people think that we're a joke over here. And
well, that's my point entirely with our president, is that he is a joke. And that's the people are going to judge us by him, which is kind of sad.
Exactly. And when you hear in the news, and by the way, if we got 22 minutes remaining in the program, if you'd like to comment on this or anything else, 646-721-9887. I'm kind of negligent of giving out phone numbers, by the way. 646-721-9887. How do you think it makes us look for the world? I'm going to play the snippet one more time that we played at the beginning of the program. When the Speaker of the House makes this comment.
Oh, don't make me do this. Oh, this is too hard.
Well, in the first place, the idea of the Speaker of the House making sounds like that is just very disturbing.
Yes. Well, he continues. Here's the continuation of that.
Whether we're going to get to it this year or not. I think we should. But the appetite amongst my colleagues for doing this is not real good. And this guy's back here with a camera. But here's the attitude.
Oh, don't make me do this. Oh, this is too hard.
You should hear him. You know, we get elected to make choices.
Well, Boehner says he...
Yeah, they get elected to make choices. And he's making fun like that, treating them like children. And this is, you know, this is the example. I mean, I understand where he's going with all this. This is regarding immigration, by the way. But it doesn't matter. He's still the Speaker of the House. Totally inappropriate for him to come across like this. And they wonder why people, you know, like Nancy Pelosi's and stuff, why we have no respect for them and why they're a joke in the news, you know.
Well, the point is we shouldn't consider them a joke, except when he does things like that. But most of the time, we consider him a joke. But we've got to take him for real because he's there. We have put him there. We have elected him. And I don't know. He just, we've got to put up with it for better or worse while he's there. Either that or we've got to get off of our dead ass and fire him. But we don't do either one.
Right.
We just sit and complain and harp about it and over and over and over, and that's all we do. So in this particular instance, it's probably as much our fault as it is many elected officials, not just him. I mean, many elected officials. For example, the president. You know, I can rave about the terrible things that I think the president is doing and how he's so ill-informed or how he's so... ill-educated, if you want to, if that's a word. And he's not ill-educated. He doesn't have an education, but he just doesn't know how to use it.
We don't know what his education is. They won't release the transcripts.
Well, we do know what that he went to certain classes, and we do know that he was a senator before he was a president. And, well, of course, that doesn't mean anything either. But the point is, I do believe he has an education, and he has. But there's more to life than just an education. It's more to what you think and do than what an education can be. What you think and do has to do with your own thought process, and his is poor. His doesn't work correctly, and that's my problem.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you because this reason I'm going to disagree because I think his comments here in Malaysia really kind of says everything, and it kind of goes along with what you're saying about basically his experience in life. I think because if you go back, there's two main things that he said in the 2008 candidacy, and one of them is that he wants to fundamentally change America, and two, he wants a single-payer health care system. Well, obviously, he's still holding a grudge from the way that he supposedly was treated as he was growing up. You know, commenting about race and slavery and segregation is still there, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it is in some areas, and maybe from my experience, I don't see it, you know, and that's, you know, I'm not saying that I'm right, I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm just going by my experience, and he's going by his experience, and somebody else is going by their experience.
My problem with what he said was not what he said, it was when and where he said it.
Right.
He has no possible respect for other people. He has no possible respect for the place and the time, and he just comes out with things that should not be there. And consequently, I believe he should not be in there either.
Right. And also, how about the, you know, we get back to Willamette Week and what the reporter, quote unquote, asked Mark Kelligan is that why at the nuclear conference are they talking about the NDA and the statement regarding the Clippers?
That's a real simple answer to that, and that's because the most important story in the news at the moment, and the one thing that's on everybody's mind at the moment, is the NBA problem. And the fact that these are news people that are doing this thing, that are talking, it's a little different because they've probably talked that out already, whereas the rest of the world has not. And so for the rest of the world to get into that discussion is just standard procedure. And for them to slough it off the way they did, and then to get really impertinent and ask the Easter Bunny question, that's just absurd. That's
right.
That's just saying that you don't respect anybody in there, or at least that's speaking. And
well, here's an example. Okay, I'm looking at the transcripts, and you can see these at the whitehouse.gov. This is the press release. It's not the actual transcripts. The Prime Minister and the President acknowledge the importance of peace and stability for the security and economic prosperity of the nations, pointing out that the disputes, that they can resolve their territorial maritime disputes through peaceful means, including international arbitration, as warranted in accordance with universally recognized principles of international law, including the United Nations Convention of the Law of the Sea, which, of course, I would be asking, you know, more questions about that, and they did get into human rights things, but, you know, again, with the NBA, the whole point is, you know, place and time, because it reminds me of a soap opera, you know, like if you're watching The Days of Our Lives or one of those soap operas back then where, you know, they're in. Everybody, of course, wears evening clothes, you know, for going out, and the situation is kind of like, our company is $15 billion in debt. We don't know if we're going to be able to keep our doors open. But that's not important now because Frank is dating Marcia, who used to be dating Harold.
I'm lost.
Yeah, it's a matter of relevance. You know, if you, my reference is that if you own a business and it's going downhill and you're in debt, that's what you'd be focusing on, not who's dating who. And in this case, we're talking about, you know, the nuclear conference, and that should be the focus of the thing, not what somebody said in the States regarding an illegally taped recording that got released because of a girlfriend that...
Well, we don't know how it was brought up. The little piece that you gave us doesn't show us how it was brought up. I mean, it was not in form. It was not in context. It didn't fit, but it was there, and that's what I'm saying. He doesn't need to even bring it there.
Right.
This is he's in their country speaking to their president, and you don't need to go on that direction at all. And he did, and that's my point. He doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know how not to do things. He doesn't know the protocol. He doesn't know. He is totally lost and should not be the leader of our country.
Well, so they are talking about, of course, they do this every time.
Well, it's a little
change of the Constitution, having them allow a third presidency.
What?
Oh, yeah. They, of course, about every time a second-term president comes up towards the end of his term, they start talking about, you know, Mount Rushmore and should we allow him to have a third term.
Oh.
You know, just like the Bush family, you know, they want to have another Bush in office. Maybe we've had, well, we had too many Bushes, in my opinion. You know, what if his wife decides to run?
Bush's wife?
You know, what if Michelle decides to run? That would continue the Obama legacy, because he says his job is not done yet.
Oh, well. See, I don't think we're going to worry about his job being done or not. I don't, you know, the thing is, if you notice, when we've before talked about this, there are almost as many people that agree with what he says and what he does as people who don't.
Right.
I believe for at the moment, perhaps the disagreeers are going to get larger in number because he's getting really, really stupid in the way he's acting and the way he's coming out. But there's still a lot of people who think he can do no wrong. And like it or not, they're voters, and we're going to have to live with that. I just hopefully don't, you know, he doesn't get, well, he can't go for a third time anyway, so consequently we don't have to worry about it. I believe we are going to have a Republican president and Republican everything just about in the next election. Because
here's a perfect example. We heard during the last election somebody screaming on YouTube or whatever, you know, I'm voting for Obama because I get my free Obama phone, which Obama had nothing to do with. It was a program that was already instituted that is part of your phone bill. It's a low-income thing, but, you know, somebody starts selling it as the Obamacare. I'm here, people that are supporting Obamacare. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day who says, thanks to Obamacare, he is now getting insurance where he wouldn't have otherwise. Well, he's low income, and he already qualified for the Oregon health care and for Medicare. So Obamacare really had nothing to do with it. He would have got it anyways. But he's saying, you know, thank you, President Obama, for putting this in.
Well, I'm just hoping, as I say, that enough people realize the folly of this that will get new people. I believe that we've got of course, you can't tell until the election comes around and we start hearing the rhetoric that comes out of the candidates, whomever they may be, because we don't even know who's running yet. You know.
Well, that and until it hits home. Like, for example, talk show host Mark Levin just announced the other day, when he said this, he said probably people in the office aren't even aware of this. They just got notice from their health care provider that they're being dropped.
Yeah.
And so now he's going to have to go out and try to find different health care. And he said that he had pretty good policy for his.
Well, that's the difference. That's the thing. The people are going to finally learn. They're going to realize soon because they're going to be left out in the cold. And in a lot of cases, a bunch and bunch of people are going to be left out in the cold because of this whole debacle of Obamacare.
Right.
And when they do, then they're going to start realizing they voted for the wrong person, and they're going to want to change and vote for the right person, or they're going to vote for the right people. And the thing is, they're not fully aware of this yet. They're very close to getting aware of it very now, because things are happening fairly quickly. But up to this point, they thought they were under the care of Obama, and were not in trouble. A lot of people thought they had this whole thing made in the shade because of what Obama did. But now they're going to realize that because of what Obama did, he's destroyed their any kind of relaxation that they had, or any kind of, I don't know the word at the moment, but it's just going to be because they've had too much Obamacare. is what they forgot, and it's not possible to get, we can get rid of it and change things is to change the people. But we still got 2 years of Obamacare,
right?
Or a little over 2 years, and we're going to have to live with that, because if we went and started impeachment proceedings at the moment, and it would take 2 years to get him out of there. And meanwhile, I was going to say meanwhile he could screw things up even worse. Well, it doesn't make any difference. He can screw things up pretty bad any way you look at it. So basically what we've got to do is we're going to have to live with it and just let it go. And then hopefully we can put somebody in who can actually change it, who can actually fix it. You know, that means we're going to have to find and get enough information about whoever we're going to try to run for office next to find out if he is capable of fixing it.
Well, the point is, though, is that as we go through our lives, generally what the federal government does, unless we get into a war, doesn't really affect us. Well, from you and me, we basically see, we get this much money taken out of our check, or the price of gas goes up or whatever, and the rest of it usually doesn't affect us personally. That's one thing that Obamacare is doing, is that besides changing, making it mandatory that we have to have insurance, or we pay a fine up to like $2,100 in 2016 or 2.5% of your income, and how it affects our employer. So this is more in your face. You got to deal with it and comply with this.
But still, is that $2,100, is that more or less than what we would pay with to get insurance?
Some insurances are running anywhere from $300 to $800 a month, depending on what type of coverage you're getting.
Well, then you're definitely saving money.
You save money by paying the fine.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin, too, is that this is one thing that I was thinking about, because I would like to – I used to own a business at one point, and granted, I had only 8 employees, so I come under the 50-employee limit where I didn't have to provide insurance under the Obamacare situation. But as you know, as an entrepreneur, it costs a lot of money to get started. You have a lot of investment in there, and typically they say it's going to be a couple of years before you can even take a wage out of it. Now, I'm going to have to worry about in 2016, if I can move forward on this, that for each – for myself, I'm going to be paying the penalty because I can't afford the insurance. I'm going to be living on a shoestring doing this. And anybody else involved in the partnership is going to be in the same situation. So in addition to the holdback of trying to pay, for whatever, like my business, I had a $1,200 space rent. I had 8 employees I take care of, work comp I had to do, matching Social Security, all types of things. And then for myself, I had a mortgage. And maybe I would get a chance to take home something every month, and some of my minimum wage employees were actually making more than I was every month. There's a lot of responsibility, so it wouldn't take much to put me in a negative where I would have to close the business because you can only run in negative for so long before you just can't afford to keep going. And so now we have this requirement added on top of businesses that are trying to start, and even ones that are currently running. You know, if you have 50 employees or more, the hours are being cut for employees because of the Obamacare requirement. So, like I say, it's more in your face than anything else that the federal government has done outside of a war.
Well, I know when, if you've been watching the television very much at all or listening to the news very much at all, but there's an awful lot of companies that are exactly where you're saying they would be. There are a lot of companies that are having to close down or shut down certain stores or different parts of their company or entirely, or move it overseas. And that's what's happening. That's the other thing we've got to talk about one of these days is how can we get these companies to come back to the United States? What can we do? I mean, do we have to do something with income tax, or do we have to do something with taxes? Do we have to do something with wages? What do we have to do to get these people to bring their companies back to the States from wherever they've taken them to get out from underneath this mess that we've got ourselves in? What do we have to do to change that?
Well, one thing to start with is I'll give Portland, Oregon an example, is that they have a $35 per head per year arts tax, for one. They're now starting to they're thinking about putting a transportation tax, you know, making it more and more. Oregon is a very high tax state. It's very expensive to live here. And, you know, so the more taxes you put in there, the more harder it is to afford to live there, especially if you're living on a tight budget. So getting, and of course we have the embarrassment of the, we were going to touch that, the Oregon, Cover Oregon, which we spent billions of dollars on and covered nobody, and now we're going to the healthcare or what's the Oregon Obamacare?
Well, we keep doing this all the time. This isn't the only time we do this. You know, we jump into things and figure that we know how to do it and we can do it, and then we find out we can't, and we've got to step back, throw that money that we've spent away, and let somebody else do it. And we've got to perhaps maybe wake up to the fact that we don't know it all and let somebody do it in the first place.
Exactly. Our demand, you know, value for our money, and this, you know, the Cover Oregon website, which nobody signed up, and it's just a total loss, you know, that's money out of our general fund. You know, it came from somewhere, and it came from us.
That's right. Well, we're running out of time. I haven't got anything else to say. I mean, at least I don't have time to say it, so we'll just say have a good day, everybody. It's
absolutely
been fun.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody, and thank again to Joe Ray Perkins for coming on the program and coming us a little bit more behind the scenes. We'll see you next week, Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Be sure to check us out on the Internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.